It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic, biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And it has been a week to remember. Actually, 10 days, probably. You go back to the 28th of May, we had temperatures in the mid-20s throughout most of northern Minnesota and a lot of physical damage to plants and flowers, and probably even some small birds suffered in that. I don't know how my hummingbirds made it through, but I still see them at my feeders, so I guess that they survived it. At any rate, it was a tough time. And one of the outcomes, one of the things that I've noticed in looking over the trees and plants that were most severely affected by the frost that occurred were red oak, bur oak, black ash, and northern holly. And the northern holly is a shrub, but the other three are full-sized trees. All four of those had late developing leaf structures. That is, they typically leaf out a little bit later than the aspens and the red maples and the basswoods and all of those other trees that had already put out leaves. So we had the two species of oaks, we had the black ash, and we had this northern holly. And all four of those plants have late emerging leaves on average. Black ash is probably the latest, but all of them are a bit behind the other trees. I was talking to Paul Hansen, who is the principal investigator for the Spruce Project that is conducting this climate change experiment in northern Minnesota, and he pointed out that as leaves develop, they emerge, and though they might be green, they don't really get around to producing sugars and starches, which is the product of photosynthesis, until a bit after they get started. There's this period, a sort of a lag between the leaf's emergence and the actual production of sugars and starches that the leaves are responsible for through photosynthesis. When you put sugars and starches into leaf structures, it lowers the temperature that the leaf will freeze at. So if you set a bottle of distilled water and a bottle of Coca-Cola out on your deck, or put them in a controlled situation where you brought the temperature down to, say, 31.9 or something just below 32, the distilled water would freeze, and that Coca-Cola or anything with sugars in it would go lower before it froze. And essentially, this is what happened to our trees. So the reason that the birch and the maple and the basswoods and aspens didn't suffer as much damage from the frost is that they had already begun to produce these sugars and starches, which lowered the temperature, lowered the effective temperature of freezing in those leaves. So those leaves that did freeze hadn't yet begun to produce sugars and starches in amounts that would be enough to drive the temperature down. So we had a lot of damage, but it was isolated into trees whose leaves were newly emerged and really not in full production yet. Among the other observations from this past week, a couple really exciting ones. Fireflies are out, and that puts them just about on average. I had them about 4 days early, but you know, 4 days is hardly anything compared to the life of a firefly. The other thing that I saw this past week that was absolutely stunning, I was walking with my dog, and the dog suddenly froze and looked off into the woods, and all at once, two quick pounces, and she was well into the woods, at which point a ruffed grouse got up and flew about 20 feet and hit the ground running. And once that happened, the chase was on, and the dog and the grouse, The grouse, knowing full well that she needed to pull the dog away from what she left behind, which was a little flock of babies, she just lured that dog out into the woods deeper and deeper and deeper, and it was 5 minutes or so before the dog came back to my whistle. And in those 5 minutes, I had seen probably half a dozen little baby ruffed grouse, including one that was running on the top of a downed log. And this was in the evening, probably around 7 or 7:30, so the light was kind of low in the sky. And this little fuzzy little grouse was illuminated from behind by the sun, and it was absolutely stunning. One of those moments when you wished that your eyeball were a camera, because it left a picture in my brain that I can only try to relate to you, but it was quite the event. I was thrilled to see a bunch of young grouse in the area, and in a way I was thrilled to see the way the grouse handled my dog, the way she led her away from her babies and out of danger. Among the trees and shrubs that I've been watching, high bush cranberry are in bloom. Pagoda dogwood bloomed, although in my yard, the pagoda dogwoods were so damaged by the frost, the flowers were so damaged by the frost, that the only flowers I saw on my pagoda dogwoods were right down within like 10 centimeters of the ground. And so the flowers were much reduced this year. Traveling south of here, I went down to the cities last week, and lots and lots of roundleaf dogwood in bloom. I'm not seeing a lot of roundleaf dogwood in bloom around here, and I suspect that the reason is that those flowers were burned by that sharp frost that we got on the 28th. And so I think that it'll be kind of hit or miss with the dogwood flowers this year. You're either going to find them out there or not. Speaking of flowers and the frost, the chokecherry crop is gone at my house. All of these observations are mine personally and may not be the same that you are seeing at your house, but I lost my chokecherries, blueberries, and juneberries. All three of those, the berries that remain on the plant look ill-suited for fruit production. So that frost was at exactly the wrong time for a lot of fruit production. The raspberries and blackberries, however, are just now starting to flower, and those flowers don't seem to have been affected too much by the cold. I saw blackberries in full flower, probably at their peak, and the raspberries are at the same stage, and with some good luck here in the next few weeks, month or so, we may end up with a crop of raspberries and blackberries, but we'll just have to wait and see. There were a lot of ferns that were damaged in the frost, but many came through without much problem. In one particular case, I had a cinnamon fern whose fronds were all burnt, just totally toasted. There's nothing left. And right in the middle of the clump, the sporangia of the cinnamon fern has arisen and is full of spores and rapidly ripening to begin to spread those spores for the next crop of cinnamon ferns. Interrupted fern appears to be all done with its spore production this year. The sporangia on the interrupted ferns look kind of brown and used. And the ostrich ferns are not yet up. The fertile stalks of the ostrich fern and the sensitive fern are not up yet. And I didn't look carefully at the lady fern, so I don't know if they're in production of spores right now or not. But the ferns recovered. Quite a few of them recovered from that strong frost that we had, and they appear to be doing pretty well. Among the flowers this past week that I took note of, several on their way out, the star flower, the blue bead lily, and the Canada Mayflower, The starflower and bluebead lily at my house are almost done flowering. There's a few left here and there, but not many. The Canada Mayflower, the stalks of flowers are starting to show a little bit of decay or decline at the base of the flowers. I was looking over my patch of Canada Mayflower, and I happened to come across one of last year's berries. And these are little red berries. Oh, how big would they be? I guess if you remember stick matches, or not stick matches, but the old paper matches that came in the folding matchbooks, that would be, the head of that match would be roughly the size of the berry on a Canada Mayflower. Now, this berry was dry and dark red. This time of year, another name for the Canada Mayflower is ruby red, and that name comes from the color of the fruit that are there. Anyway, I picked this little fruit, and I shoved it in my mouth, and it was delicious. It was very, very sweet and chewy, kind of like a fruit roll-up or like a gummy bear. It was, except that it had a lot more flavor than a gummy bear. But it was chewy and really delightful. Now, the thing is very small, and the seed is very large in there, so there's not a lot of plant material to eat there. But it was delicious. And so if you are hanging out around the Canada Mayflower and you're confident of your ability to identify these little red berries, there was only one in the patch that I was looking over. This time of year, there are very few of them around, but they are certainly worth finding. And when you discover one, plop it in your mouth and have a taste and enjoy, because it is quite, quite tasty. Among the new flowers blooming this past week included blue-eyed grass, silvery cinquefoil, red clover, lyre-leaved rockcress, buttercup, smooth vetch, Canada milk vetch, hairy Solomon seal is about done, lupin, chickweed, and I mentioned the raspberry and blackberry. All of those plants are up and really beginning to bloom right now and quite lovely. So if you get out and check those out, you won't be disappointed. The maiden pink is blooming. Now, this is a flower of dry areas. I find this out in the middle of a hayfield. And yesterday, as I was walking around the hayfield looking at this plant, the hayfield itself was like walking on matchsticks. It just crunched underfoot. It was first burned by that frost and then burned by the high temperatures that we've had since that frost. And my neighbor Marvin Beer and I both came to the agreement that there was little in the way of hay for the first crop this year. The second crop may come through. It'll depend on how much moisture we get this summer, but pretty tough out there. But in the middle of all of that dryness are these bright, shockingly pink flowers. And there's Deptford pink and there's maiden pink. And the difference is a tiny little white marking on the petals of the maiden pink. But it is a very early bloom of the maiden pink. And I was really quite thrilled to get out there and have a chance to see it. Sweet Sicily is blooming, and that's pretty much it. The other couple of notes that I have, one, the fireflies are out, and that was pretty exciting. I always love to see the fireflies. And I saw my first bluebirds this past week. The bluebirds are well, as the kids said in the student reports, there was some cold weather in the area where the bluebirds spent the winter, and many of them perished. And so they have been slow to arrive in northern Minnesota. But last week, Wednesday, I saw a pair flying about on Blue Heron Drive. And shortly after that, they must have selected a nest box because I found that yesterday I was driving, riding my bicycle along, and there was a single bluebird sitting on the wires. Pulled my binoculars up and got a good look at him, and he was a male. So I'm only assuming that the female was maybe sitting on eggs already, which is what I hope was the case. So it looks like, at least for me, the first of the eastern bluebirds have returned to northern Minnesota and have gotten down to business right away and are starting a family. So we hope that that is the case. Lots of pictures on KBXE-KAXE Season Watch page concerning young geese, young swans. The swans that I've been watching on my lake have disappeared, whether they are hiding in the beaver pond area with their young, or their nest met with failure and they simply packed it in and left the area. I don't know for sure. I just know that they are not hanging out on the lake where I can see them anymore. So we'll keep an eye out on those and we'll try and let you know what's happening there. Lots of things going on this time of year. The smooth rose, our little pink roses, should be starting to bloom this week. I have buds on mine, but no flowers yet. And I see a few pictures around on the Facebook pages of smooth roses blooming. So keep an eye out for your roses. This might be the week that they bloom. That's our phenology show for this week. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back again next week.